Father, we give you all the glory tonight. You deserve the glory. You and you alone, we give you the glory tonight. We bless you. Thank you. Honor you for saving us from the devil's hell. Thank you for all you've done to redeem us by the precious blood of Jesus. Father, as we come tonight before your word, we thank you that your word has the answer to every situation, to every problem we face. Your word has the answer tonight. So, Father, through the ministry of your spirit and your word, we thank you for speaking to every heart. Speak into every situation. Speak to every circumstance tonight. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you for unction and utterance. Thank you for blessing the Hagans, all who are with them there in South Dakota. Thank you for blessing those meetings by your spirit, moving mightily among them, moving mightily here. We give you all the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, you may have your seat. Let's thank our worship team. Yes. All of our singers and musicians alike, we thank them and we appreciate their supply of the Spirit. Tonight, you have your Bible, Exodus chapter 15. And we're going to begin at verse 22 and read through 27. Is that all right? Exodus 15, 22 through 27. My title tonight, Out of the Frying Pan and Into the Fire. You ever been in a situation in your life where you felt like you'd gone out of the frying pan and into the fire? There are times in all of our lives, because we live in a fallen world, when sometimes things go wrong. Pastor had an amazing sermon this morning. If you didn't hear that on getting out of trouble and avoiding trouble, you need to get his message from this morning. It was so good. But tonight we're talking about out of the frying pan and into the fire. Here in Exodus 15, verse 22, it says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them, and he said, 'If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what's right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer.' And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters." Praise God. This is an awesome scripture of Israel's journey from the Red Sea to Mount Sinai. And so many things that happened in Israel's walk with God in their examples, good and bad, are spiritual examples today for you and I. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 encourages you and I to pay attention to what happened to the nation of Israel, because there are spiritual examples that we can follow and learn from, both good and bad. And here, it's right after Exodus 15 is a joyful chapter. Exodus 15 is right after they crossed the Red Sea. And what happened after they crossed the Red Sea? There was jubilation. There was celebration. There was great rejoicing. When they crossed the Red Sea, there was dancing, there was shouting, there was proclaiming God's promises when they crossed the Red Sea. And so then, as we get to the end of the chapter here, the verses I just read, they leave the Red Sea, and then everything that they did not expect happened to them. Now let's remember, they are 600,000 men, and it is estimated that they were about 2 million people. Some say as many as 2.5 million. And when you count in the women and children and the younger people, and they go a whole day, that many people, without water. And how many know, that's a long time. You can't walk around in this Oklahoma sun for 30 minutes in the heat and not need water. I said, I wish I had an amen. Past year, since last December when I play golf, much of the time I walk the golf course now, so I get a little more exercise walking, but it's a strenuous activity to walk and then hit the ball 100 times. No, and then hit, you know. Lately, I've been hitting 80-something times. It's been good. But it's a strenuous activity to walk the course and then also to hit your ball. And let me tell you, I drink plenty of water. I get hydrated before I leave. I take electrolytes while I'm out there walking. I do have, Tony bought me a cart, a little robotic cart that carries my bag all around. So that thing follows me all around wherever I go. I don't have to carry the bag. Praise God. But I drink a lot of water. And when I get done playing, I'm still thirsty. And here, you know, you got 2 million people and they're going a whole day with no water. That's bad. And they had just been rejoicing, praising God, but day one passes, and guess what? Day two happens, and they still have no water. And I'm sure as it heated up in that desert, this Oklahoma sun can probably not compare to the desert they were in. And I'm sure they started asking God for water and thinking about water, and they're thinking, we don't have water. There's no water. Where are we going to get water from? How are we going to get water? But the same God who parted the gazillions of water, the gazillions of gallons of water to part the Red Sea, was the same God who had his eyes on them. I said, he's the same God who's got his eye on you. I said, he's the same God who's always brought you out and always brought you through. I said, amen. And so God always has a plan. He always knows what to do. And so they began to panic. And by the time the third day hit and there's still no water, now they're really upset. And the Bible says they did what so many Christian people make mistakes to do. They began to grumble and complain. And I've said so often that grumbling to the Christian is like pouring, when you get, you know, what's that yard killer, that weed killer that kills all the weeds? Roundup. Grumbling to the Christian is like pouring Roundup on our faith. You want to undo your faith? You want to undo your prayers? There's no faster way than to start grumbling and complaining. Because when things go wrong, that's the first sign of a lack of faith. And so they began to grumble, and you can see it. Verse 23. Now, this is why I titled this sermon, Out of the Frying Pan and Into the Fire. Because verse 23, after 3 days of going with no water, their problem got even worse. You ever prayed about something and your situation got worse? And in verse 23, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore it was named Marah. And so the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And so they get to, after going 3 days with no water, think about this now, they find water. They find a lot of water. They find enough water to quench their thirst. The problem is they can't drink the water. And the scripture says the water was bitter. And that bitter water represents life's bitter circumstances. Listen to me now. Every now and then you and I go through circumstances, situations, or scenarios that are bitter, or that can produce bitterness. And Israel let their bitter circumstance get on the inside of them. And it wasn't long before their bitter circumstance produced a bitter attitude. And they began to grumble and to complain. They've got all this water, and now they can't drink it. It was bad enough they went one day with no water. It was bad enough they were going to the mailbox every day looking for extra money. It was bad enough they were expecting to get a raise down there on the job and they got laid off. It was bad enough they were believing for something and they didn't see immediately what they were believing for. And in the midst of all of that, their problem got worse because they found what they were looking for, but they could not drink it. And God was waiting on them the whole time to bless his name, to worship him, and to praise him. But instead, they grumbled, and they grumbled at God, and then they doubled down, and they grumbled at their leader. And you know, those two things we ought not do. We ought not grumble at the Lord, and we ought not grumble at our leaders. I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, instead of grumbling over a leader, you should take time and pray for the leader. Amen. I said, lift the leader up in prayer. Leaders aren't perfect. You ought to take time and pray for the leader. Amen. But they grumbled, and they grumbled so badly that the scripture says that they even began to think about their former lives, and they began to think about what they used to have. And back in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 21, the scripture says they began to think about what they used to eat back in Egypt, and they started desiring to go back to Egypt. Nehemiah 9:21 says they started thinking about leeks and melons and cucumbers and onions, and they started thinking about the food they used to eat. And they had their mind and their thoughts in the wrong place. And that bitter water got on the inside of them. And so they asked Moses here in Exodus 15, what should we do? What are we going to drink? And Moses cries out to the Lord. And I love this. The Lord shows him a tree. And he throws the tree into the water, and the water becomes sweet. Isn't that something? It's amazing. To me, this is a perfect example of pastor's expression of the natural and the supernatural working together to make an explosive force for God. Because oftentimes in the life of a believer, God will show us something to do in the natural. When there's a problem, oftentimes God will give you and I something to do in the natural. And when he gives us something to do in the natural, listen, we need to obey and act on what he gave us. I wish I had a bigger amen. I knew somebody one time that told me they needed a job. I asked them, how many applications are they filling out? They said they hadn't filled out any. I said, well, you're going to be looking for a job for a long time. Why? You better put boots on the ground. Or in this case, most times today you apply online or whatever, but you better make some effort to be filling out applications if a job is what you are in need of. I wish I had a bigger amen. God showed, they prayed, God, Moses, they grumbled at Moses. He prayed to God. God showed him a tree in the natural. When you think about it, God, he could have just healed the waters. He could have just said, Moses, go get the rod you had and hold the rod over the water. Moses' rod parted the Red Sea. God could have said, go get the rod, hold it over these waters, and I'll heal it that way. He showed him a tree, and Moses had to pick up the tree and throw the tree in the water. And there's no tree that is known, from what I've studied, that can heal waters that are bitter like that. And so God still supernaturally, miraculously healed the water, even though Moses, as an act of faith, had to take the tree and throw the tree into the water. I wish I had a bigger amen. Sometimes people are feeling a certain way in their body, and God says, get up and go to the doctor. And somebody says, well, I ain't going to no doctor. Well, you better listen to what the Lord told you to do. Wish I had a bigger amen. Won't get no amen teaching like that. Sometimes there's somebody, they're believing God for a home or believing God for their house, and God says, hey, you need to shore up your credit. They said, I ain't doing nothing. I'm going to keep on spending. Well, you're going to be out without a house for a long time. I said, you better listen to whatever God gives to all of us. We better listen to what the Lord gives us to do. The Lord may have you saving. The Lord may have you in a season where he has you put money aside and save money for a specific purpose. Somebody said, well, I want to go to Rhema. The Lord may bring extra money to you and say, hey, you need to be banking this. You need to be saving this. You need to be putting this aside so you can go to Rhema and accomplish my will for your life. Don't be like Brother Bill. One day I did that years ago when I first came to Rhema. I did that, and the Lord gave me all kind of extra money. When it was time to go to Rhema, I had spent all that money. Then I said, Lord, aren't you faithful? Lord, where are you? Lord, don't you see my need? Lord, you know I'm believing you. I went from the frying pan to the fire. I got in the fire, the Lord spoke to me. In his mercy, he got me out of the frying pan. But he told me, think back, I gave you so much extra money, and you spent every dime of it. When I wanted you to save that money was for an intended purpose. You were out buying stuff and buying pizzas and stuff when you should have been saving that money. Brother won't get no amen during this part of his sermon. Go ahead, Brother Bill. Teach it anyway. Say it anyway. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Bill. God showed Moses a tree. Told him to take that tree and throw it in the water. He gave him something to do in the natural that was, in effect, completely, listen to me now, supernatural. And oftentimes the result of our natural actions of obedience produce the supernatural power of God. I'll hit you with one more and keep running. I don't have to, if you can write this one down, but Isaiah 38:21, it's the healing of King Hezekiah. How many remember when God healed King Hezekiah? How many remember when Isaiah showed up at the palace and said, get your house in order because God says you're going to die? How many remember when Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, wept bitterly, then he repented to God and prayed to God? How many remember when God spoke to Isaiah and said, turn right back around, go back into the palace, tell King Hezekiah I've already heard his prayer. Tell him I heard him just like that. And tell King Hezekiah I'm going to give him 15 years. Isn't that where we always end the story? We need to read the rest of the story. When you read Isaiah 38 and read down to verse 21, it says, after all of that happened, then Isaiah told him by the Spirit, go and get a cake of figs. Make a paste out of that. Put that on the infected boil and it will heal. Brother won't get no amen teaching like that. God took something from the natural and then with his supernatural power and healing ability on it, that's how Hezekiah got healed. Oh yeah, he told Moses, go get that tree, throw the tree in the water. And when God gives you an action point, when he gives you a step of faith, just obey God. I said, amen. I said, just step out and obey God. Do what he tells you to do. Moses cast that tree into the water and the waters were healed and Israel was able to drink that water. What's that water represent to you and I? Life's bitter circumstances. But Moses threw a tree into the water. What does that tree represent? The cross of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, through his power, through his resurrected power, takes our miserable, bitter circumstances, and through his power, the same power that's on the inside of you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you and I, and through that mighty power, he takes bitter circumstances and turns them around and sweetens them for our good. I said, only a God in heaven can do that. They did you wrong down there, but okay, they did you wrong down there on your job. God can turn that around for your good. Somebody in your family said, you're not going to make it. You ain't going to amount to nothing. You ain't going to do this. You ain't going to do that. But God can turn it around for your good. Somebody doesn't believe in you and cheer you on. They've said negative things and called you everything but a child of God. But God can turn it around for your good. Somebody neglected you. Somebody mistreated you. God can turn all of that around for your good. I said, he can turn the whole thing around. God can turn it around. He can turn it around. He can turn it around. He's the God of a turnaround. They asked Joseph in Genesis 50, verse 20, when his brothers came to him, their brothers said, oh, he's going to get us now. We've abused him. We've misused him. All his life, he's going to get us now. He's the prime minister now. We're coming now, not to our brother. We're coming to the prime minister now. Prime Minister Joseph, he's going to get us. They said, he's going to get us back. He's going to get us back. We're in trouble now. And Joseph said, no, I'm not in God's position. He said, what you intended to harm me, God has turned around for my good. God turned it around when I was in prison. God turned it around when I was in the pit. God turned it around when Sister Potiphar lied on me. God turned it around when they forgot about me for 2 years. God turned it around. He turned it around. He turned it around. I said, he's the God of the turnaround. And the part of your life that has been made bitter, oh, through the power of the cross, through the power of the cross, Jesus can turn it around and make it sweet again. He can turn it all around for you. Praise God. I said, he's the awesome God of the turnaround. And he told Moses, take that tree and throw it into the water. And God miraculously healed that water. I want to say three things to you because there's a way out of the frying pan. There's a way out of the fire. Listen, I want to say three things quickly to you. Number one, listen, we've got to turn our worry into worship. Israel blew it here. They made a huge mistake. They went one day without water. They should have been worshiping. They should have been doing what they did in Exodus 15 at the first part, the first 21 verses. They worshiped God. They blessed God. They praised God. They exalted God. They danced before God. Miriam got the women together and they got tambourines and they started shouting and praising and dancing. And when they went one day without water, they should have been praising God. What are you saying? I'm saying turn your worry into worship. Because worry will lead to bitterness. I said worry will turn your words bitter. Worry will turn your faith bitter. Turn your worry into worship. They worried. When they didn't have water, they worried about it. They worried about it. They worried about it. Turn your worry. Whatever's causing you to worry, turn it into worship. Number two, listen. Turn your complaining into compliments. Turn your worry into worship. The scripture says, we read there that God tested Israel. What was the test? He was waiting for them. The scripture says in verse 25, there he tested them. What was the test? He knew they were going through adversity. He was waiting for them, number one, to turn their worry into worship. Something worrying you, learn how to turn it into worship. Worship God for the awesome God he is. Worship him because he's the provider. Worship him because he's the healer. Worship him because he's the strengthener. He's the one who gives direction. He's a great helper tonight. Turn your worry into worship. What I said, secondly, turn your complaining into compliments. Compliment what? How are you going to give compliments? There ain't no water. Don't you know we've gone 3 days with no water? Don't you know? Compliment. Give compliments for what? Don't you know we found water, but it was bitter? Compliment how? Compliment who? Compliment what? We need to compliment a God who's more than enough. We need to compliment a God who's a way maker. We need to compliment the God who can make a way out of no way. We need to compliment the God who can turn a desert into a river. We need to compliment the God who can give you a job when you had no job. We need to compliment a God who can give you a car when you had no car. I remember, man, when I first got out of college, I was believing God for a car. I had no car. Got to Richmond, Virginia, and my job, and oh man, I rented a car, but that gets expensive. How many know that gets expensive real quick, renting a car? I went to some meeting and a man met me and he said, "Hey, I heard is your name Bill?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I heard you're a campus minister." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I heard also you don't have a car." I said, "You did." I said, "I don't have a car, that's true." He said, "I got a car, if you're not too proud." I said, "I'm not too proud." And he said, "I took it down there to the shop." This is 1983 now. This is year 83, 1983. He said, "I got a 1963 Ford Falcon." Oh, man, how many start grumbling and complaining? Oh, 63 Falcon. That Falcon was a bad ride, literally. In the worst sense of the word. No, that Falcon was a blessing. That thing had a huge steering wheel and a huge back window. You could see what the radio was tuned to if you were outside the car just looking in the back window. Except the radio didn't work. That Falcon, it's two-tone, blue and rust. My friends called it the Blue Monster. Oh man, these two poor Richmond police officers one night, oh man, I drove them batty one night. I was coming back, I was flying back. I flew in late. On an old airline, People's Express. Most of you too young to remember those regional airlines like that. I flew in on People's Express. Back then, their airline industry got deregulated, and they were offering plane tickets. Sometimes you can get $25 each way. And I flew in, but you had to fly, you know, whenever they flew. I flew in late, and I drove from Norfolk, Virginia to Richmond. And I was in my Falcon, and it was, you know, it was early in the morning now. It's about midnight, 1 a.m., and these two wonderful police officers stopped me. They said, "We've been following you for miles, and your blinker you know, you're not using your blinker. It doesn't appear to be working. And we're going to ticket you. And one was on one side of the window. One was on the other side of the window. And I said, well, sir, that blinker does work. And he said, no, it does not. And I said, no, sir, I appreciate what you're saying, but the blinker does work. He said, no, it does not. And I said, well, he said, I don't even have to do this. He said, I'm going to do it just for you. Whatever the guy's, I don't remember the other guy's name. He said, Joe, whatever it was. He said, you go in the back and look at the blinker. I'm going to prove to you this blinker doesn't work. And I said, okay. Well, he didn't know that I knew that Falcon was very temperamental. That's 63 Falcon. You had to put the blinker on, then depress the brake, and then it would blink. But if you didn't follow that sequence, it would not blink. And I didn't know they had been behind me, so I didn't follow that sequence. So when he went back there, I put my foot on the brake and put the blinker on. That thing went pink, 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 pink. He was back there scratching his head. I made him mad. They said, get out of here. I said, yes, sir. Have a good night. What are you saying? Don't be grumbling at your blessing. At that time, I was believing God for a Volvo. What showed up? A Falcon. 63 Falcon. But just because a 63 Falcon showed up was not a time to grumble. I danced. I praised God. You know why? I had to catch the bus for a little while. And when you're out there at the bus stop, you're waiting on the bus, and you get a car, whoo, that's a great luxury. That Falcon had air conditioning. Came in from the floor, a hole in the floor. Just I praised God everywhere I went in that Falcon. But the day came about 2 years later, and God gave me the Volvo. And I praised him just as hard for the Falcon as I praised him for the Volvo. I'd learned my lesson. You have to turn your worry into worship. You have to turn your complaining into compliments. And finally, you have to turn your test into your testimony. Whatever you're going through now, whatever is a test of your faith now, will become your testimony. And that Falcon became the first of so many blessings. The Lord's always given me cars and wonderful vehicles, and he's been so good to me. And that Falcon, I never forget the humility of that first car. It probably meant more to me than any of them. Don't let whatever you're going through make you bitter. Use the power of the cross, the resurrected Christ, and he'll turn your situation around. I want to say to you before I close tonight that God revealed himself here as Jehovah Rapha. Actually, it says Yahweh Rapha, Jehovah Rapha. And he's revealed himself to you and I in Isaiah 53, you know, verse 4. He's carried our diseases. He's revealed himself as our healer. And he's also revealed himself as our provider. And whatever you need from the Lord tonight, I hope you'll learn from Israel. Turn your worry into worship. Turn your complaining into compliments. And turn your test into your testimony. Whatever you're going through now will simply further your testimony. God will take your mess and make a message from it and turn your test into a testimony. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much tonight. We've endeavored to share with the people tonight what you gave us. And we thank you for the example that we find in Israel. And Father, we heed your word tonight. And we turn our worry into our worship, our complaining into compliments, our test into a testimony. Strengthen somebody who's believing right now for whatever it is they're believing for, but the manifestation of what they're believing for has not arrived yet. Strengthen them and strengthen their faith. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need something from the Lord tonight, our prayer room workers are coming down. And as we dismiss, I want you to come down And if you need somebody to agree in prayer with you, these anointed men and women are here to do that. Ladies, go to the ladies. Guys, go to the guys. And before we dismiss, you can come down now for that. But before we dismiss, we want to receive this offering for Pastor Hagin's birthday's coming up, September the 3rd. And Pastor Hagin is an awesome man. And he is a pastor of pastors. And he is the father of fathers. And he is a wonderful leader and mentor. And ask anybody on the staff team working for a pastor, and Mrs. Hagin is like a dream. And, you know, they never ask us to do anything like this. They actually are embarrassed by it, shy away from it, have never encouraged us to do anything like this. But the Bible tells you and I that the laborer is worthy of their wages. And it's our opportunity, of the few we get, to bless the man of God. And I'm going to ask you to dig deep. And we want to give him an overflow, breakthrough offering on his birthday, and let him just do what he wants with it. I don't know what to get him. I don't know what to get you. And so often, to me, the only thing worse than giving a gift is giving a gift somebody doesn't want. But if we just give him the cash, he can just get whatever he wants. Is that fair enough? That's why we do this. So we're following the scriptural precedent and just being a blessing to him. If you'll let these ushers do their job, they're the fastest this side of heaven. And you can text to this if you want to text an offering to Pastor Hagin. Text to 28950. Use the keyword Hagin, a space, and the amount you'd like to give. Or you can give at the kiosk, or you can give using the offering envelope. Just designate what it's going to. However you're giving, we're going to pray here momentarily. You can give at home and that same way. And but let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Pastor Hagin. What a man of God. How we have been blessed again and again through his ministry, through his life. And as we stand upon this, one of the few opportunities to bless him, Father, I pray that we would receive an overflow offering for him. We thank you for using him tonight and blessing him. Bless he and Mrs. Hagin, the team that's with them. Bless their health and strength. Bless this offering as we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's let these ushers do their good work. These men are anointed to do what they do. Now, if you want to come forward for prayer, then you should be the only one moving. You want to come forward for prayer? Come on forward for prayer. And the rest of you, just hold your seat just for a moment and watch how fast they get this offering. If you've already given, let's show our love to these ushers. They do such a great job. It's hard to start thanking people because so many people are doing a fantastic job. Our parking lot workers are standing out there in the heat. Let's give them a big hand. Yeah, our camera workers, they may not be in the heat, but it is hard to stand up on your feet during the whole length of a service. They have to avoid knee lock or whatever you call that. And all of our video and camera production and sound people do a fantastic job. Give all them a big hand. The one thing about working for the Lord is we're all just one big team. We're one team in Christ. And everybody has a supply of the Spirit. It's a beautiful thing when everybody adds their supply of the Spirit. It's like a beautiful picture, like a puzzle coming together with like a tapestry, every piece having a part, having a place. So we appreciate all of you for that. We appreciate all of these good men. And it looks like they're just about, stand up on your feet. Looks like they're just about done here. So stand up on your feet, my friend. Remember, be here, Hour of Power on Wednesday. It's a filling station. Come in and get fueled up, midweek service. Don't forget about the prayer, Pastor Zach, tomorrow. And then, as I say, be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Sunday morning, another blockbuster service. All right, God bless you, one and all. You are dismissed.